It's time to head out on the front porch on KFRM. Grab your favorite drink, sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation on the front porch.
Welcome to On the Front Porch. I'm Tamara Wallace, and I'm visiting with Lacey Austin from Lucas, Kansas. The 2024 Big Kansas Road Trip that takes place on Thursday, May 2nd through Sunday, May 5th, that features two counties, Ellsworth County and Lincoln County, and the town of Lucas, Kansas. Lacey is one of the coordinators for Lucas, but she will share with us about what to expect for this year's trip. Along with homeschooling her children, Lacey is co-manager of the Lucas, Kansas nonprofit art cooperative business, Switchgrass, president of the Lucas Area Chamber of Commerce, and helps remodel houses. Welcome to On the Front Porch, Lacey.
Thank you for having me.
Lacey, let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your childhood.
I grew up on a farm outside of Eureka, Kansas, in southeast Kansas, and went to school in Eureka and grew up doing 4-H. And
did you have a dream job as a kid?
I didn't really have a specific job, but I knew I wanted to do something creative.
Tell me a little bit more about your 4-H involvement.
I was in Harmony Sunflowers 4-H Club, and I was very active. I always had a ton of entries in the fair and raised sheep and rabbits and a lot of cooking and sewing. And
tell me about high school.
It was a very small high school, but our class was the biggest they've had for a very long time. And I did okay in school, and I did a lot of extracurriculars, and got to see quite a bit of the state doing that.
Lacey, did you play sports or involved in activities in high school?
Yes, I did golf, which I'm still not good at. But they didn't have enough players for a team, so they let me play. I liked being outside, so it worked out. And then I was really active in FFA. I did a lot of competitions.
And did you have any special memories from any high school events?
I think it was the summer between my junior and senior year. I got to fly on a plane for the very first time in my life and go to the leadership conference in Washington, D.C., and I got to meet people from all over the country and explore the area. It was really a cool experience.
And was that through FFA?
Yes.
And did you have a favorite coach or teacher in high school?
Miss Evans was my favorite teacher. She was my sophomore English teacher, and then she was my yearbook advisor, which I was on the yearbook for, I think, 3 years.
And did you have a job while you were in high school or a summer job?
Mostly I just babysat and nannied children.
Going back to 4-H, did you have a favorite project that you took to the fair or maybe went to the state fair?
I got to take a pie to the state fair 1 year, and I got a blue ribbon at the state fair.
Did you make your own crust? And?
Oh, yeah. I'm still an excellent pie maker.
What did you do after high school?
I was a little bit lost after high school. I started doing home health care and assisting people who wanted to stay in their homes after they needed more help to stay in their homes. And I decided pretty quickly it was not for me, and so I put in a lot of hours and to save up my paychecks and moved to Manhattan, Kansas for college.
Was that K-State you went to?
Yes, I went to K-State.
And what was K-State like for you?
It was pretty good, but it's really tough to be a first-generation university student without a lot of money or knowledge of how to navigate things. I ended up having my daughter during my fourth semester, and I couldn't get through that fifth semester.
And what degree were you looking at?
I started in the ag department. I really should have stayed there, but I was in advertising when I dropped out.
Did you work in college?
I did. I worked full-time at a steakhouse, and I started off as a hostess, and eventually I became a waitress.
What did you do after college?
I was pretty much raising my daughter full-time and just working to keep a roof over our heads.
Tell us about your family.
I met Jeff when my daughter was 10 months old, and we just kind of immediately hit it off. He was working for someone else as a house painter, and then not very long after we met, he left for a few months to go help his parents, and so we talked on the phone a lot and got to know each other that way. And when he came back, we moved in and got engaged pretty quickly, and then we had a year-long engagement, and then we had our youngest 2 years after that.
Did you meet him in Manhattan then when
I you did.
Tell us what your life was prior to moving to Lucas, Kansas, and what brought you there.
Well, we were kind of all over the place. The first thing was Jeff's cousin got him into a billboard conversion business. So they were converting billboards from the paper and glue systems to the tarp and cable systems. And so during that time, we lived in three different states and five different cities. And eventually, Jeff's sister helped build up a painting clientele in Houston, Texas. And eventually, it was enough to stop traveling back and forth and just move there to start our own business. And we bought a house out of foreclosure, and we slowly fixed it up. And while we lived in it, and after 5 years, I'd had enough of the city life. Before that, we did a road trip across Kansas for our first anniversary, and we ended up in Lucas, and I got to meet Eric Abraham, and he showed us all of his studio and his project cars, and I thought it was a really interesting way to live and raise a family. And I just kept researching Lucas and realized that it had a lot of opportunities for our families. The commute wasn't going to be any more than what it was in Houston, and there was a great homeschooling community here, and we had Lake Wilson just minutes away, and its housing was affordable, and we could, you know, sell our home in Houston and be able to rebuild a business from scratch again. And so that's what we did, and it's gone really well.
Now, a lot of people can't say that they have a green thumb, and I believe that you do. You also have a greenhouse. Can you tell us a little bit about that, how you learned how to be so good with plants? And
so I grew up raising a garden because it was kind of the only way we could afford fresh food, and so it became like a if we wanted fresh food, we had to raise it. And so I learned that way. And then my co-manager at Switchgrass, Jeannie, she found this really good deal on a greenhouse. And so we went in on this greenhouse together. And so that's how I ended up with a greenhouse. And right now, I don't have too much going because I've been very busy with my other projects. But I have some tomato plants that are already making tomatoes. So that's very exciting. And I started some watermelon and cantaloupe and amaranthus seeds. And I just checked yesterday, and the amaranthus is starting to come up.
Do you sell the produce?
No, I don't make enough produce to sell.
So do you do like any canning?
No, we pretty much, it hardly ever makes it into the house. The kids kind of go out and eat before it even comes inside.
I'm Tamara Wallace, and talking with Lacey Austin from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about her growing up. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we will learn about the business Switchgrass, in which Lacey is the co-manager at. Back on the front porch, I'm Tamara Wallace visiting with Lacey Austin from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about her growing up. Now we are going to learn about the business Switchgrass, in which Lacey is the co-manager at. Lacey, tell us about Switchgrass.
We are a nonprofit art cooperative. Currently, we have 28 artists and more than 2,600 pieces of artwork. Switchgrass has everything you could think of: reclaimed metal sculptures, ceramic dishes, beautiful mixed media art, and assemblage art. You can see meticulous stained glass pieces and interesting textile art. We've got 7 simple guidelines for accepting art in our cooperative, and anyone who meets those guidelines and agrees to our membership rules can be a member. Our guidelines are: the work has to be completed by the artist submitting it, the work has to be complete, no perishable elements, fine crafts can be considered, work has to be for sale, no display-only items, and no hazardous materials, and work also must be ready for display. Artists who can meet those guidelines can pay for a 6-month membership to Switchgrass. If you volunteer 16 hours a month, Switchgrass will only take a 10% commission, and you receive a discount on your membership. And then artists who don't volunteer still receive 80% of their retail sales. And Switchgrass is mostly funded by our thrift section. Our community and artist members donate items to our thrift store to be resold, and that's how we keep our lights on.
You wanted to be the co-manager at Switchgrass. Tell us why you wanted to do that.
It just kind of happened that way. I was involved with, like, the planning committee. It was something that I had in, like, my 10-year plan. I thought I'd need 10 more years before I was ready to do something like this. But no one else kind of stepped up, so I ended up managing the gallery and the classroom.
So you have some business skills to be able to manage.
Yeah, helping my husband build his businesses through the years, I've learned a lot about what it takes to keep clients, and marketing is my big thing that I do.
Yeah, your Facebook page is great. You do a lot of promoting and what's going on, and, you know, people can just jump on there and, yeah, can learn all about it as well. What was the challenges you faced in starting Switchgrass?
So our first challenge was to figure out how we could make our nonprofit work in a small community. Many cooperatives, regardless of where they are, fail because funding is always an issue. But the idea of a thrift store was kind of a quickly accepted idea to create consistent income, and we wouldn't have to do constant fundraising and have fundraising fatigue. And so then Jeannie found a great rental to begin Switchgrass in. It wasn't very long before we were busting at the seams in that space. And in August of 2021, a massive Kansas storm rolled through with huge winds, and our roof was destroyed. Our neighbor called to let me know what happened. And because I was at home at the time, and when my husband and I arrived into the store, it was raining inside. So we just decided we were going to get things out of the way where it was raining. And eventually people just started to show up to help us. And the mayor let us move into the old library building to keep everything safe. And eventually there was like 30 people helping us carry things from our damaged building into the old library. And then it kind of became clear that the path forward was to get busy writing grants and applying for loans to purchase the building across the street. The Dane Hansen Foundation is a very generous organization here in Northwest Kansas, and they helped us purchase the building, and we got a low-interest loan from our county economic office, and it was kind of terrifying to have responsibilities like loans instead of just the rent payment, but I was really confident in the model that we had built over the last couple of years. And then our Russell County Area Community Foundation gave us $10,000 to turn the building into an art space. We got new lighting and electricity and fresh paint, and we have a squid system that we put over the plaster walls. And then, you know, we still struggle getting through winter, but I'm a very stubborn person, and we just keep making it, and our community really believes in us, and our artists do too, and that's really what keeps us going.
Yeah, having that community involvement is very important. And, you know, they stepped up and helped you. You said 30 people ended up helping you move things. Just the community involvement's been wonderful for you, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about the coffee shop at Switchgrass.
So we are currently under construction. Switchgrass received another grant from the Russell County Area Community Foundation last fall to replace our tavern bathrooms, because it used to be a bar, with a ADA bathroom, and then build a kitchen in our classroom area to create all the food and stuff to be served at the front of the store, where we will also serve coffee, and then we'll have a nice little serving area. And additionally, we also got new storefront windows with that grant, and a storefront grant through our county economic program, too.
And tell us about some of the past events you've held there.
So every April 1st, Lucas artists organize a day for people to meet them and host workshops. And you can visit studios and see open houses around town. It's a really great way to shake off the winter and begin the tourist season in Lucas. The event is always on April 1st. It doesn't matter what day of the week it falls on. We have a really great audience that attends, even when it falls on a Monday like it did last year or this year. And everything is in walking distance of each other. You can visit Densmore's Garden in Eden and see the newest artist space all in one day.
Tell us about the upcoming events at Switchgrass.
This is going to be the third year Switchgrass is hosting a 14-week art program that is free to attend for families. Last year, we teamed up with Feeding the Children of North Central Kansas and distributed more than 150 lunches and meal boxes through the program. We also provided over 200 art lessons for those kids. And so we are currently preparing for the summer art program again. The classes are held weekly beginning May 23rd on Thursdays. We use a different art medium every week, and you don't have to attend every class. You can go to as many or as little as you are able to. And this year I'm doing three sessions. We have a preschool class where we focus on process art, so they can kind of feel the medium and focus more on the process than on the results. And it still comes out pretty cool. And then we have a social class for ages 8 to 18 for the people who like to chat. And then a quiet class for ages 8 to 18 for those who prefer a quiet work environment.
Now, Lacey, you're the co-manager at Switchgrass, but you also have some art in Switchgrass as well. Tell us about that, and also that concrete dress that you made.
So, mostly I am a textile artist. I take little tiny pieces of scrap fabric and I layer them together and I just sew and sew until I create a new piece of fabric that I can use to make purses or pictures. And I really enjoy that process. And then my concrete dress, I saw a call for artists for the Hammers and Heels Gala and for the Art Center, Celine Art Center. The call required that you create a design that was mostly made of construction materials. And so I submitted 4 different sketches, and the panel was mostly interested in the concrete concept, and it was also the idea that I was most excited about, too. Years ago, I saw somebody make flower planters out of old towels dipped in concrete, and I thought that, you know, surely I could make a dress that using that same process. The toughest part was to create the form for the dress and make sure everything was in place when I went to begin the dipping process, because once you start that process, there's no pausing it. You have to just keep going. And then on the day of the gala, it was raining, so my husband transported the dress for me in his enclosed trailer. Mm. And then I got to meet a bunch of other artists that had really creative visions of how to use construction materials. And I got to meet a lot of people, and I walked the runway to show the dress.
And tell us about the commercial you were in with the Kansas Tourism.
So the director of the Grassroots Art Center asked my family to act as museum visitors. Our daughters weren't interested in being in a commercial, so just my husband and I went down to be in the commercial. And basically, we just kind of showed the film crew our favorite pieces, and they were recording us talking about it. And so I'm in the commercial for like a whole half of a second.
Tell us how someone can contact Switchgrass.
Switchgrass is located at 208 South Main in Lucas, Kansas. Our website is switchgrasscoop.com. And then you can find our social media. We're on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook at Switchgrass Art.
Going back to remodeling houses, and, you know, you did all your research and you wanted to move to Lucas, get out of the, you know, the city life. Tell us how you and Jeff got into remodeling houses to resell.
So, like, one of our very early date activities that we would do is to go on walks and kind of daydream about how we would improve these houses on our route. We bought our first house in Houston out of foreclosure, out of necessity. But it kind of proved to us that we could handle the challenges of remodeling a home and still like each other when we were done. And so we bought our first home in Lucas by promising the owner that we would bring the home back to life and sell it to a family. A week after we made that purchase, we had a handshake agreement with the neighbors that they would purchase the house once renovations were complete. And they've been living in that house for a couple of years now. And then we just completed our second home to be sold in Lucas last fall, and we're still looking for a buyer. It's a really cute 1.5-story home with 2 bedrooms. And, you know, we worked really hard to keep the charm and all the things that make these older homes special while also setting up for modern living.
So anyone that comes into Switchgrass, if they're looking to move to Lucas, there's a house for sale. So
yes.
And you are president of the Lucas Chamber of Commerce. Tell us about your involvement with the organization.
I'm not sure exactly what year I got involved. It was 2019 or 2020. But I do a lot of, like, the background organizing and graphic design and keeping the website updated for the chamber. I'm on the committee to organize our upcoming 50th annual Adam's Apple Festival, and been working also to organize the Lucas portion of the Big Kansas Road Trip with Erica Nelson and Connie Dautry.
I'm Tamara Wallace talking with Lacey Austin from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about the business Switchgrass, in which Lacey is a co-manager at. On that note, we're going to take a short break, but we will be right back, and we will learn about the 2024 Big Kansas Road Trip. I'm Tamara Wallace visiting with Lacey Austin from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about the business Switchgrass, in which Lacey is the co-manager at. Now we are going to find out about the 2024 Big Kansas Road Trip. Lacey, tell us about the Big Kansas Road Trip, or also known as BKRT.
So the purpose of the Big Kansas Road Trip is to provide the public with firsthand experiences in rural communities and get people addicted to exploring.
How does the BKRT work?
This will be the sixth Big Kansas Road Trip. The people are kind of given a menu of things they want to see and do over 4 days, and they get to choose where they want to go and when they want to get there. You don't have to be part of a caravan. There's no itinerary except what you decide you want to do. Kind of like a build your own adventure guide. And this year we have 256 entries. So there's attractions, events, shop stops, and restaurants.
How did the North Central area, including Ellsworth and Lincoln counties and Lucas, get picked for this year?
So the Kansas Sampler Foundation looked for an area that has a lot to offer, but is probably under-publicized. Ellsworth and Lincoln counties, plus the community of Lucas, have a lot to offer in terms of attractions, but are also located in the Smoky Hills region, which the Kansas Sampler Foundation believes is a beautiful region of the state, and I happen to agree.
And tell us the tips that visitors should keep in mind.
Plan in advance. So you can spend most of your time on the road trip just doing the road trip. You should bring lawn chairs and coolers and stop at the information centers to pick up last-minute information, or if you still need a guidebook, that's also a good choice. And if you are out in the country, be prepared to lose phone service, and look for there's Big Kansas Road Trip signs all over the place, so those are very helpful.
Where are those visitor centers at?
Information centers are at the museum grounds in Ellsworth, the Midland Hotel and the Barn in Wilson, the Lincoln County Historical Museum, and the Chamber of Commerce office in Lucas.
Tell us about the BKRT guidebook and how it would help while visiting the BKRT.
The guidebook is like a real build your own adventure guide. You set your schedule and you choose how much you do each day. A lot of people will study the guidebook for weeks to kind of pick out what they're going to do each day. And so those 256 entries are organized into like a spreadsheet for so all the attractions are together, all the restaurants, and it makes it really easy to kind of pick and choose what you're going to do each day.
Where can they get this guidebook at?
So there, if you go to BigKansasRoadTrip.com, there is a list of places where you can pick up those guidebooks, and they'll also be available at those information centers I just talked about.
Is this an event for kids?
Absolutely. There is playgrounds in almost every community featured, and it's a really great opportunity for our kids to learn about all the assets of Kansas, and you can go on hikes, do museum tours and so much more. It's a very family-friendly event.
At Switchgrass, will there be any special events for kids, like any art projects?
So at Switchgrass, we'll have a small art creation center, and which we have all the time anyways. We'll have some special little color sheets to do for the Big Kansas Road Trip.
Tell us about the BKRT Explorer Auto Bingo.
If you can't figure out where to go, you can use the bingo form. Some people like to enter the contest of seeing every single place on the bingo map. And then there are other scavenger hunts in other communities if you enjoy the competition.
And is this bingo, is it in the guidebook as well?
Yes, it's on page 11 of the guidebook.
I'm Tamara Wallace talking with Lacey Austin from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about the 2024 Big Kansas Road Trip. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we will learn about the event. Back on the front porch, I'm Tamara Wallace visiting with Lacey Austin from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about the 2024 Big Kansas Road Trip. Now we are going to find out a little bit more about the event. Lacey, with 121 attractions, 59 events, 36 restaurants, food events, and 30 shop stops, not sure if I got all those numbers correct, but how can people choose what to do?
It can be hard. It helps if you study the booklet or go to the website, but there is something for everyone. Some people choose to just shop, or just hike, or go see all of the art in all of our communities. It's really up to you.
And tell us about what visitors can expect to see in Lucas.
We have so much to see in Lucas. Our local businesses have been working really hard to spruce up their stores and get ready for the Big Kansas Road Trip Explorers. We have great food, amazing artworks, great places to stay, an incredible volunteer force revitalizing our community, and very passionate business owners. We love sharing our story and can't wait to have everyone come see us.
And if it rains, most of the businesses are inside, so that's not a concern.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about what visitors can expect to see in Ellsworth County.
There is many attractions, events, and special things that are only going to be available during Big Kansas Road Trip in Ellsworth County. Even for current residents, it's a great chance to experience a new place or shop new stores and try new foods. Ellsworth would love to hear about the Explorer's experiences, and they should definitely tag the places they visit and to show us on social media what they've been up to, and visit all the communities in Ellsworth County. I actually have another thing for Ellsworth County that might be in Ellsworth County. They have Mushroom Rock State Park, Missile Silos, and then there is Hollyrood. They have done a lot. There will be a folk music jam and pie at the Railroad Depot. There is a reenactment at Fort Harker in Kannapolis. Ferris Caves is something that most people have not seen. You can hike trails at the Kannapolis State Park or watch a movie at the drive-in in Kannapolis. There is also a cattle branding demonstration and bourbon tasting.
And tell us about what visitors can expect to see in Lincoln County.
There is Pie on the Porch in a historic home. You can go on a hike to look at owls, and there's the grave witching demonstration. The historic town of Denmark is going to have Danish pancakes. You can eat in a microbrewery at Sylvan Grove. There's post-rock quarry demonstrations. There's a beautiful limestone bridges throughout the county. A house in Barnard has over 9,000 cookbooks. And they call it the Cookbook House. And then there's also museums in Lincoln and Sylvan Grove. Vesper also has a wonderful community center with a beautiful mural and play area outside.
Lacey, going back to Lucas, tell us a little bit more about Lucas, specifically some of the places there that people can visit.
Lucas has a lot to do, pretty much all within walking distance of each other. Some of our artists that have open houses on April 1st will also be hosting open houses during the Big Kansas Road Trip. Barbara McCreary will have her house open to visitors Thursday through Sunday, and she creates these incredible dioramas of little sequin creatures doing various things. One of my favorite is she has pie birds making pie, and they feature a lot of really cool vintage things and shadow boxes. You have to see it in person. You can also check out Bull Plaza. It's an award-winning public restroom on Main Street. It was built out of a need for a restroom, and so the citizens of Lucas organized and created this wonderful artwork, and Mary Kalar and Eric Abrams designed it. And there are murals to see, and we have post-rock limestone that you can see during the daytime. And the Diebel Rock Garden is being restored, and it will be ready for people. There's a lot to see just walking the two blocks of Main Street. There's Fork Art Park, the murals, Fox Still sculptures, the Limestone Jail. And also in Main Street, we have the Grassroots Art Museum, and they have the Lucas Triangle. So the Lucas Triangle features Mrs. Diebel's Rock Garden, the Garden of Isis, and Bull Plaza. Those create the three points of the Lucas Triangle.
You mentioned the post-rock limestone, and there's sculptures. You can go out, I believe, out on 232. They're kind of all over, but there's like at least 12 of them. Is that correct? They can go get a list of those and try to find them?
There is 4 post-rock limestone carvings on K-232. And one is at the junction of K-18 and 232 between Lake Wilson and Lucas. Also in our Main Street district, we have the world's largest collection of the world's smallest versions of the world's largest things. It is a self-guided tour through a building. It is created by Erica Nelson, and she made small versions of the world's largest things and has curated this building into a wonderful experience that I think everybody should go and see. And there's also a Eric Abraham Memorial Room in the back, and you can see some of his work that's been preserved by Erica. And it's a unique experience that you will not get anywhere else. So the empty ligate sculptures are on East Harvest Road. He was a self-taught Kansas grassroots artist, and he gave Lucas a few of his sculptures, and they're really incredible and worth a trip out to the edge of town to see them. So the Garden of Eden is a unique historic Lucas site. The house itself is an incredible work of art. He created a log cabin, but used limestone instead of wood. And then he began to build concrete sculptures to depict his view on, like, the Bible, populist politics, and kind of just life in general. It's incredible to see. It's one of the oldest art environments that has been preserved. And it's very cool that we have that here in Lucas.
And, of course, people can go out, you know, on the web and look up these places and get a little bit more information. In the past years, how many people have came to the Big Kansas Road Trip, and maybe what do you expect for this year?
So in the past, it's hard to quantify the amount of explorers because it's, you know, typically over three counties, and there's over 4 days, and you can do as much or as little as you want. They estimate it to be, you know, in the high hundreds, low thousands. But no place seems to get too terribly crowded because it is such a widespread adventure.
Once again, tell us, Lacey, how can people get information about the 2024 Big Kansas Road Trip?
So there is a website called BigKansasRoadTrip.com. All that information is there. There is, you can follow them on Instagram and Facebook. And there is a print guide available at those information stations, and there is a digital print guide on their website. So you can get all of that information and access that kind of last-minute information that they'll put up on the website.
Well, thank you, Lacey, for taking the time to tell us about the 2024 Big Kansas Road Trip and about switchgrass and about your growing up with your life. And I am Tamara Wallace here on the front porch talking with Lacey Austin from Lucas, Kansas. We have learned about her growing up, switchgrass, a nonprofit cooperative art business that she co-manages, and her involvement as a coordinator for the 2024 Big Kansas Road Trip. I have had the most pleasure speaking with Lacey Austin. Thank you, Lacey, for joining us for On the Front Porch, and to all who joined our conversation.
Thank you for having me.